The actions of one small city alone might not change the climate picture around the world, but the city of Ashland is determined to do its part. Ashland is one of several communities working on a climate and energy action plan. And by the end of next month, that plan should be finished and ready to implement. So what's in it? And how did community input help shape the plan? Let's find out. We have two people involved with the process with us. Roxanne Beigel-Coriel is a committee member on the Climate and Energy Action Plan. She's also the Sustainability and Recycling Coordinator for Southern Oregon University, here in the studio with me. Roxanne, good to see you again.
Good morning.
We also have with us Adam Hanks, who is a Management Analyst with the City of Ashland, and he is the Staff Liaison between Committee and Staff on the Climate and Energy Action Plan. Adam, thank you for joining us.
Hi, thank you.
So do you guys feel like you're in the home stretch now? It seems like it's been a long and a busy process.
Yeah, it's been a really long process. The Conservation Commission's been working on creating some kind of a sustainability plan for the city of Ashland for many, many years. And we've most recently been working on the Climate and Energy Action Plan for a little over a year now. So it feels good to be getting closer to having an actual plan to present to city council.
All right. So as somebody who works in the sustainability and recycling business, I wonder how often all the eyes at the table turn to you. It's like, so Roxanne, you've done this before. Is it something along those lines?
Yeah, the city's definitely been looking at SOU's experience trying to implement our climate action plan and trying to do things to reduce emissions on our campus to help advise kind of what works, what's realistic, and also trying to set goals that will help us push a little farther than we normally would.
So walk us back to the beginning. What got the process started, Adam?
Well, as Roxanne said, the Conservation Commission has for a long time tried to bring together a real focused document, because I think the city over a long period of years has had a kind of a general commitment towards environmental energy efficiency, renewables, all of that, but it's kind of disparate. And the Conservation Commission really had galvanized and ultimately got the council to agree to some funding and some focus on putting that all together under one document to kind of give a cohesive strategy and, as Roxanne said, set some real tangible goals rather than just doing the good work that I think we've done in the community over the years, but actually kind of lock it in a little bit more and give something to measure against.
Ashland's not a huge city, obviously. I mean, somewhere around 21,000 people. But, you know, any organization that's got a few employees and a bunch of duties, and Ashland has a number of them, you can probably have cases where, well, the left hand doesn't necessarily know what the right hand is doing. I mean, were you finding some of those things as you moved into the process of the Climate and Energy Action Plan, things that some departments might have been doing for conservation and sustainability that the other departments weren't quite aware of?
Yeah, awareness and how they tie together. Some of that is just a matter of finding those commonalities that different departments are doing. They're doing it for maybe slightly different reasons, and can they be tweaked to maximize that, you know, to gain, and then also to track it. A lot of those, if you don't know that those have some overlapping goals and kind of co-benefits, you aren't measuring it, and you don't know if you're being as successful as you could or even being able to communicate to the community that these things are happening, these do exist.
Any examples come to mind that you can share with us at this point?
Well, I think some of the city's operations stuff is one item that our facilities department just does their stuff. And Roxanne, I think, doing the work that she does, can kind of appreciate that some of those things go way under the radar, and they're done for just keeping everybody happy, keeping the departments rolling, keeping the buildings, you know, upkeep and safe. But along with that, they're also doing energy efficiency, they're doing recycling, they're doing, you know, best practices are happening, but may not be being tracked, may not be being measured to know, is that enough? Are we, you know, how much are we spending to do that? Should we spend more? What can we gain from that? That's one example.
In a sense, then, is this process a bit of an audit to find out what everybody's doing in these realms?
It definitely is, and that's a challenge. The part of the formal process of this plan started with a greenhouse gas inventory, and that is really a numbers thing. That's an audit to kind of look at not just city operations. That's a small slice of it, but it's a one of our easier ones to measure because we have a lot of the data, but really is looking at the whole community and what it's doing and seeing where we are as kind of a benchmark to then measure against for progress.
So we're obviously extending beyond just city operations to what everybody in the city of Ashland does, and that's when things begin to get interesting, I can imagine, Roxanne.
Yeah, it definitely changes a lot of what we are able to really know accurately and what we're able to control.
So talk about the process of trying to get a handle not just on what the city does, but what's going on in the community and how that relates to climate change and energy use.
Well, I think it's really important for us to know what's going on in the community because as a community, we're all emitting greenhouse gases. And it's easy for the city to be able to track things, know how much fuel they use, know how much waste they generate. But when we're looking at it on a community scale, we have to rely on a lot of modeling that's done statewide or regionally. So we rely on numbers that don't necessarily reflect exactly what we're doing in Ashland, but they get us as close as we can.
We talked already about the size of the city of Ashland. It's not that big, around 22,000 people. How big an impact can a city this size have, or is that not the point?
Well, of the state of Oregon, the city of Ashland's emissions is only 0.5% of the total state's greenhouse gas emissions. So we're a very small part of the state. And on average, the Ashland household uses 25% fewer greenhouse gases than the average Oregon household. So we're already doing a little more than the average Oregonian does. But I think really the important part is setting an example and creating a roadmap that other cities and other communities can use to follow our example and to also start taking action in their community.
The roadmap that Roxanne Beigel-Coriel talks about is the Climate and Energy Action Plan taking shape at the City of Ashland. She's a plan committee member and the Sustainability Recycling Coordinator for Southern Oregon University in Ashland. Adam Hanks is the plan staff liaison. He's a management analyst with the City of Ashland. Your questions and comments about the Climate and Energy Action Plan and maybe how it could be duplicated in your community are welcome here on The Exchange. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Interesting, the 25% fewer emissions coming from an Ashland home than the average home in Oregon?
Yeah, and I think some of that is probably coming from the type of electricity that we use in Ashland. It's a cleaner fuel mix than what PG&E has or what Pacific Power has. And so that helps us a little bit. And I think also we tend to have a culture in Ashland of being more sustainable and being a little more mindful of how we use our resources, how we transport ourselves, and what kind of waste we generate.
So, and I guess it needs to be understood by listeners that the City of Ashland does maintain its own electric utilities, so it chooses the sources it purchases from?
Yeah, that's correct. And that's one of the bonuses for having our local plan is that many communities don't have the ability to set strategies and actions of an electric utility. But we are, because we are a municipal electric utility, we can do that. And one of those items is includes what our purchase power mix, where it comes from. We predominantly purchase through Bonneville Power Administration, which is largely hydro. But we have the opportunity to look at other sources. And many communities, have a like Pacific Power or an investor-owned utility that they can't really tell them what they should be doing for their community.
So does it make electricity a little more expensive per unit in the city of Ashland?
Right now with Bonneville Power Administration, no. It's very inexpensive power, which creates some challenges, actually. When you're looking to do energy efficiency projects, you want them to pencil. What's your return on investment? And a low kilowatt hour price actually makes projects harder to pencil out. The savings that you gain, it still does. It's the return maybe takes a little bit longer than it would in other communities. So there's pros and cons to all that, but the pros definitely outweigh the cons of having a little more control over your electric utility.
So were there, when the committee first began meeting, bits of low-hanging fruit, Roxanne, that you guys could see? It's like, well, we could do this right away, and that would, take that much off. Or did you find a community that's already fairly energy efficient and therefore a little harder to find the easy stuff to prune?
Well, I think the city of Ashland already does a lot to help our community be energy efficient and to install renewable energy. They have a lot of great incentive programs, both for commercial and residential, for solar. I think they're one of the leaders in the state in what kind of incentives they offer for people to install solar or to purchase solar. They also do great things with lighting and other energy efficiency initiatives. So we're starting from a place of really already doing well. And then incorporating the community, I think that's where we really can have a lot of impact, is helping people understand in their own homes how they can make their homes more efficient, how they can use less energy, and especially how we can drive less and consume less.
How freewheeling a process was this for committee members before you began to take public input? I'm just curious to know how free and easy your brainstorming sessions were. People just shouted out ideas and somebody wrote them down, or if you had secret ballots, or I don't know. What was the process like?
We definitely have a diversity of opinions on the committee, so we didn't always agree on everything. I think we all understood the importance of taking action in our community and the urgency of it. But the level of action and what direction to go with the action, we definitely had a lot of conversations about and tried to come to an area that we thought would be good for a community as a whole. And we really, really relied on Cascadia Consulting, the consulting company that we're working with to create the plan, to help us identify what kind of actions we could take in our community and then to prioritize those actions.
And so, Adam, how was the process and schedule arranged to allow for input from the public?
That was a big part of our contract with Cascadia, was to help the committee and the city staff do public involvement. A big chunk of that, their work, was to engage the community and make sure that what we're doing resonates, gets momentum, gets support, and actually is practical, but also pushes, as Roxanne was saying, that the intent of the committee was to be very clear that things needed to occur and that they needed to be stronger than our already good work that we've done in the past. So that was really critical to get those messages to the public. And we've had 3 open houses over the course of the process. And, of course, I think we're on meeting 25 or 26 of the committee, something like that. And those are all open to the public as well. So there and we have a good group that come to every meeting and have provided public input on topics large and small all the way through the process. So I hope it's been fairly robust, and there's still more to come when we get to council.
The making of a climate and energy action plan, the discussion topic here on the Jefferson Exchange. Adam Hanks is with the City of Ashland. He's the plan staff liaison. Roxanne Beigel-Coriel is a committee member. You can join us on the Exchange, 800-838-3760 by phone. Emails go to jx@jeffnet.org. For either of you, how did the input from the public compare to what you might have expected, either in quantity or in quality? Roxanne?
I have been really impressed by the number of community members who continue to come to our meetings that we have every other week and that speak during public forum. And they're very passionate about what they're speaking to. And it really impacts us a lot as a committee to hear that this is what the people in the community want. And I think also at 2 of our public open houses, we had a really great turnout from the community, and they're very interested to hear what we're working on, how it would impact their lives, and really want to see how they can get involved and what they can do.
Knowing the process as well as you do, or knowing about sustainability as well as you do, I can imagine that it's tough to surprise you. But I'm wondering if in the process there were some surprises that came in through public input.
I'm surprised by how willing people are to take really aggressive action and to really set aggressive goals to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions in our community.
And what kinds of things were they talking about?
Well, they wanted to set goals based on science and what science is telling us we need to do in order to try and reduce the impacts of climate change and to hopefully help to avoid some of the changes that we're going to see. And so our recommendation right now is to set a goal to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions by 8% on average every year, which is really big reductions, and it'll require a lot of work from the city and from community members to really make some changes to help it happen.
So, Adam, can you walk us through some of the major features of the plan? I noticed that there are 6 different focus areas that are, buildings and energy, urban form, land use and transportation, consumption and materials management, natural systems, public health, safety, and security, and cross-cutting strategies, which I assume does not mean wood.
Right. Yeah, the cross-cutting strategies are really just the catch-all category for things that are kind of universal that cross over the rest of the 5 focus areas, education and outreach, continual. And I think that's a very important thing, is that keeps momentum, that keeps both the committee, the city, and the community in touch with each other as we move forward and see what's working, what we need to turn up, what we need to do differently to keep trying to hit the goals that Roxanne mentioned. But there are the different categories kind of have different levels of control and influence. At the local level, there are certain categories that you just don't have as much ability to impact as other categories. So probably the two that we heard the most from in the public and probably that from the city's perspective are most familiar with that we have programs for and that we actively engage in a very tangible, easy-to-see way are the buildings and energy and the urban form, land use, and transportation. And, you know, those two have also contain the two kind of most direct things that people can do to impact their carbon emissions. Most of the other items are indirect, and the direct items are, you know, fossil fuels, natural gas, and gas for transportation. So hitting those two items, you know, are a big piece of making the targets, but they're also hard. Yeah, they're hard to do. They're hard to transition from.
Is there an expectation, I wonder, Roxanne, that the city has to do at least as well as the community, that city government has to be even more efficient just to sort of show, hey, look, we can do this so you can too?
Yeah, we set different goals or recommending different goals for the city operations in addition to what we've recommended for the community as a whole. So I believe it's for the city to be carbon neutral by 2030 and to reduce their fossil fuel consumption by 50%. By 2030 and 100% by 2050, if I remember correctly. And part of the reason to be able to set separate goals for them is it's a lot easier to track a lot of what city is doing because they can track specifically how much fuel they're using, how much energy they're using. And on a community scale, it's a lot harder to have very accurate numbers about how much gasoline people are using in our community.
So I wonder what kinds of things, what for example, would be like a first step that anybody, if they haven't done it already in Ashland, could do to fall in line with some of the recommendations that have appeared in the draft plan?
I think one big thing people can start doing is transitioning away from natural gas towards electricity. So as you're replacing older furnaces or other appliances that are currently being run on natural gas, if you can choose electric instead, that has a big impact on our carbon footprint.
How big an impact to the household bill, though? I wonder if we've reached a level of efficiency now where it's pretty comparable.
I don't know if I could speak to that. I might be able to.
It's really different in each home, and that gives me a good segue to the plug of our city programs. We have a great conservation program, which we have a residential energy analyst who will go out and find that out for you. We'll look at all of your you know, energy uses, both natural gas and electricity, and give you ideas and suggestions and link you up with programs that we have to do exactly that, is to transition over off of the natural gas and, you know, be very energy efficient, which then has a, you know, hopefully, and in most cases does, a positive impact on lowering that utility bill. So that the monetary piece is an important component of this to make it all work.
City of Ashland moving ahead with a climate and energy action plan, should be finished by the end of next month. Adam Hanks from the city and Roxanne Weigel-Coriel from the committee are here. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 and jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Cynthia in Talent. Welcome to the exchange.
Thank you. Yeah, here in Talent, we're also working on a clean energy plan that we've presented to council. And one of the components of ours is to push forward a opportunity for folks who are low income or retired and therefore would not benefit from solar tax credits to have another way to get solar on their residences, and it's called Seeds for the Soul, and we're modeling that after a very successful program in Corvallis, and Rogue Solar is helping us with this. But I'm wondering if Ashland has also looked at that, making solar more accessible for folks who don't necessarily benefit from the federal and state tax credits.
Let us find out. Thanks for the question, Cynthia. Adam?
Yeah, the plan kind of has some general kind of umbrella strategies on renewables in general. And then underneath that, we've had some conversation, and also there's some language in there. There's more to explore, but one of the models that we're looking at to achieve what the caller was talking about, but in maybe a different way, is community solar and solar co-ops, which can leverage and break some of those same barriers that she was describing about access to tax credits, upfront capital. You know, it gives the ability to install solar in a spot with great exposure, and people can buy into or be a cooperative to have a share of that local, you know, clean renewable energy.
And when you say a spot with good solar, not a place on somebody's house necessarily, one of the owners.
Right, it could be, but it could be in a commercial location. The co-op, a cooperative could approach a commercial business and you know, lease or rent or, you know, utilize roofs that currently have no solar on them. The commercial business owner could be a part of the co-op. There's a lot of different models about the partnerships, but a lot of these are partnerships. It's figuring out how to pull together several different things to overcome some of those financial barriers and importantly, to make sure that everyone in the community has access to those tools to achieve the goals.
So back to the Climate and Energy Action Plan, your meeting, your last public meeting, it looks like was last week. Is that the end of the input cycle, Roxanne?
No, we still have some more meetings coming up. Our next meeting is January 4th. And we also have opportunities on the city's website. I think it's ashland.or.us/climateplan, where you can take a survey to provide input. And you can also email Adam with any input.
Okay. That all links from our website. So people can just go to Jeff Exchange and look for the piece on the Climate and Energy Action Plan. I noticed the implementation plan was not part of the draft. Is that being worked on feverishly now?
Yes. That one is going to be part of the January 4th committee meeting. We've spoken to it in previous open houses, and there's a summary of that implementation plan in the draft plan that was recently released. It's going to really talk about three core things. There'll be some prioritization and short term, mid term, long term, kind of how to prioritize the actions. But one of the key pieces of it is a desire from the community and a recommendation from the committee to take the goals and targets that they've put together and make them into an ordinance. There is a draft ordinance, and recommend that City Council adopt those goals as an ordinance. And then another piece is staffing funding for additional staffing for the project. And then also an ongoing committee to help with oversight of the committee over or the plan over time.
Just a couple seconds left. Has anybody broken trail? I mean, could you copy anybody else's example, or did you pretty much have to reinvent the wheel here in Ashland for this plan?
We're sort of copying the city of Eugene. They were the first ones, other than us, to really set aggressive goals, and one of the first to make them into an ordinance. So we're sort of following their example.
Okay, Roxanne Beigel-Coriel is a member of the committee creating the Climate and Energy Action Plan in Ashland. She's the Sustainability and Recycling Coordinator for Southern Oregon University. Adam Hanks is a management analyst with the City of Ashland and the plan staff liaison. Thank you for joining us on The Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.